Welcome back, folks. Second hour of War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm about to hand off the baton to Tiffany Cianci, who is there in Kentucky helping to support Thomas Massie in his fight for political survival against a cadre of Israeli billionaires. Very excited to bring her on and hear what she has for us. But I want to go to this video. It's Kevin O'Leary and Tucker Carlson. You can find the article where you can find our live show and everything that used to be at InfoWars. You can now find it at alexjoneslive.com. Here's Tucker Carlson and Kevin Leary getting into it about AI and the data centers. And it's a great example of the human-centered approach versus the not human-centered approach. Let's watch.
Building a data center that trains AI, that provides productivity to the entire nation, we create millions of jobs, high-paying jobs.
AI is going to create jobs?
Yes.
I thought it was going to eliminate jobs, net.
Just think about the new technologies we don't even know yet that are going to be built off AI. Everybody thinks when television came, everybody would lose their job in radio. That was complete BS. And the same thing is going to happen here. Everybody's hysteria about losing jobs, making hamburgers or flipping them, being replaced by a robot, that's probably true. But all kinds of new technology will become available over time, including in medical science and biology and all kinds of things where the models can be used. I'm extremely optimistic. What I'm doing is creating a whole new opportunity for my children.
What kinds of jobs? Well, I mean, again, some of this, of course, is unknowable, and I want to be as fair as I can be because I'm grateful that you're willing to talk about it so openly. But you just said this will create AI will create millions of new jobs. You're basis of AI. You can't have AI without data centers, at least right now. So what are those millions of jobs? Because we can go through the list that the creators, the people who actually are making AI right now, developing it, we can go through a list of jobs they say it's going to eliminate, which would be like lawyers and financial planners and like the basis of upper middle class America. That's going away. They've said this. What will it be replaced by?
It'll be replaced by new science opportunities, new exploration into space, new manufacturing for robotics, for defense as well. Wars in the future probably aren't going to be fought with people getting shot in the flesh. It'll be one set of robots against another. I think the drone technology will advance the manufacturing of surveillance, all that stuff against our enemies, which notably is basically China. So if you think about how, you know, you debate the data center, I think it's fair to do that, what you're doing. But I would be very concerned if I were living in Taiwan that one day my electricity just goes out and I get invaded by basically robotics and high precision ordnance. And that's what China wants, and they want to get there first. Now, if we don't get there first, if we don't develop something better than their AI, and our ability to be predictive on where these conflicts are going to happen, I think we'll be in a bad place in 20 years. And so,
I think it's very revealing that I asked you about jobs in the United States, and you went immediately to defending Taiwan in the South.
Well, we manufacture the equipment here, Tucker. That's where it's made.
But I'm okay. Well, actually, a lot of this has been in China, as I know you know. So
that's my whole point. I don't want to do that anymore. Okay, I want to start making it here. I want to do advanced robotics.
Amen. I totally agree. But the promise of AI and robotics is that the robots will make the products of the future. So how exactly does that result in American jobs?
If you're
and
in
more
the
specifically, what are those? What are you talking about
when you say replaced by a machine? I don't buy that. I just don't agree with you because it's never happened.
I'm not saying I don't want that to happen. Trust me. I'm really worried about it, almost panicked. But I'm trying to feel better. Okay, then please make me feel better. Where are these millions of new jobs? What specifically are you talking about?
Well, you know, every time technology advances, it creates new opportunities that were not foreseen prior because you don't know the direction of new tech. You know, think about if you and I, because we were actually around in the late 80s contemplating what new jobs would be created by the internet.
So once again, Kevin O'Leary just takes the same tack that all the people take. It's the worst argument ever, which is just like, well, in the 80s, the internet was invented. So, you know, you have to accept a giant data center on your land. All technology is the same. The car is basically the same as data centers. It's all just technology. You're just afraid of technology. It's the craziest argument ever. Tiffany Cianci on the other side.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer, even salesmen. I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something and think it's great and I research it, I put it on you. You are insane if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our methylene red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that, found some, was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out, and any mammal does. It is super nutrient, incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work, and they fund the operation.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live on the Alex Jones Network. You can find us at alexjoneslive.com. alexjoneslive.com is the headquarters. And as always, folks, if you're hearing this message, you are the resistance. The entire time Alex Jones has been on the air, the message has been the same. It's not just about delivering the information to you. It's about putting that information to use and taking power and protesting what's being done to humanity, because we have to stop what we know they intend, what we know their plans are. So I'm very happy that today and tomorrow we'll be dedicating a pretty big chunk of War Room to supporting the candidacy of Thomas Massie in Kentucky. Obviously, he's one of the best congressmen perhaps in my lifetime, has had absolutely massive success, should in any normal circumstance be a shoe-in, but he has now been challenged by the likes of Miriam Adelson and Paul Singer. Billionaires from other countries are lining up to destroy Thomas Massie, and according to the polls, they may be getting close to do it. So we're pulling out all the stops to guarantee that we remain a republic, that the American people remain at the top of the priority list of the people in power by electing Thomas Massie and using this platform to achieve political good. And in that mission, I'm very happy to welcome Tiffany Cianci. She, of course, can be found on X at The Vino Mom. And she's sort of leading the charge with a whole bunch of creators going to Kentucky for this get out the vote drive in support of Thomas Massie. So, Tiffany, I know you got a big hour ahead for us, so I'm going to pass the baton to you. The show is yours. I can't wait to see what we got. And of course, very big interviews coming up tomorrow. But very excited about, dedicating the show to this very important race. So the floor is yours, Tiffany.
I am always happy to be here, Harrison. I wish I could be in studio, but I am exactly where I need to be. This week, I am broadcasting live from Kentucky, Northern Kentucky to be specific, just south of the Cincinnati line. I'm actually looking at the Ohio River from where I'm sitting, which is why I am quite so glare ridden over here in Pale. There's a lot of sunshine coming off the water. But we are here in Northern Kentucky answering the call that Thomas Massie sent. He said that he needed people to know how important the young vote was in Kentucky this week. And we're here to make sure that every single person in Kentucky that is eligible to vote knows that the primary is happening, knows where they can go to vote, and knows exactly what they need to do to get the message across that politics in America is no longer for sale, that billionaires do not get to buy elections in this country, and they certainly don't get to buy the seat that belongs to the most popular member of Congress. And that's what we're here to do. So I can't thank you enough for handing me the show and letting me take the reins. Oh, I guess it's just me. Perfect. All right, everybody. I thought he was going to bounce back to me. But for those of you that have been on Harrison's show before at War Room, this is my first time back on the Alex Jones Network after the big change. My name is Tiffany Cianci, and most of you know me as the bubbly little fairy of doom. And that is because I often come and black pill the audience. I don't mean to do it. I come with real information. I talk too often about macroeconomic issues like private equity, monopolization. But today I'm here not to blackpill you, but to get the entire audience to recognize that we have work to do. We have a mission this week, and our mission is to prove once and for all, to show the big politics is not for sale to the highest bidder for billionaires in the United States. And we're going to start that right here from Northern Kentucky. We're going to be broadcasting live today and tomorrow. Now, tomorrow's going to be a really big day because we're going to be interviewing Thomas Massey live in the 6 o'clock hour, Eastern time, 5 o'clock for Central. We're also going to have on several other members. Matt Gaetz may stop by, Lauren Boebert. We're going to have several really large creators joining the show. But today you've got me, and we're going to be talking about all of the reasons that people need to understand what Thomas Massey's about, why these votes are important, what he's been doing in Congress that the media has worked tirelessly to suppress so that nobody knows about it, and where you can go and get out the vote today. I'm glad all of you've got me here. I'm also live on TikTok right now, live on X, and you guys can join the streams there and send in comments and questions. So I'm going to do my best to keep up with all of that with the crew that I have here in front of me. To start today, what I want to do is I want to talk about something that pivots just off of what Harrison introduced when Kevin O'Leary was talking about data centers in Utah. Now, I've talked about data centers an awful lot on this show, and we're recognizing in real time that it's not just big politicians that are for sale. It's politicians across every aisle, across every spectrum. Entire county councils, county commissions are being purchased en masse, and people are feeling like they're not heard at a record-breaking level. Well, right now, most people don't realize that it's only been a few weeks since Thomas Massey took up this fight for all of us. Now, you guys may or may not know that he is on the Judiciary Committee in Congress, and the Judiciary Committee is often where bills go to get test-driven before they go for a primary vote on the floor. Well, there was a bill that was brought to the Judiciary Committee just a few weeks ago, and all of the Republicans and the Democrats were going to let it pass out of Judiciary for a final vote. And that bill is called the Protect American AI Act. And if you haven't heard about it, it's because they absolutely did not want you to know. They did not want a response that was similar to the response we recently gave them in D.C. regarding giving glyphosate immunity in the Farm Bill. They didn't want people flooding the streets of D.C. But if you aren't familiar with the act, the Protect American AI Act, what it was designed to do was to grant immunity to the builders of data centers against any legal action you could take if they hurt your property values, caused illness in your community, damaged your water supply, destroyed your property values as a homeowner, destroyed entire communities. It was to grant them immunity because everything was worth the sacrifice if we could just be number one in AI and in data center buildouts worldwide. And Thomas Massey single-handedly led the charge in the Judiciary Committee to kill that bill. I don't know if we have a screen grab of it, but for those of you that don't know, and those of you that are talking about this very universal issue in the United States right now, that's exactly the kind of thing that Thomas Massey regularly does. He comes up against these massive corporate interests, but he doesn't take their money. And then he goes and he quietly does his work. He gets things done. He finds unifying opportunities, both on our side of the aisle, right? Wherever he happens to be on the right or on the left, he builds coalitions and he gets the job done with very, very little prestige. With nobody shouting his name, he just gets the job done. And so for those of you that are worried about data centers, every single one of you should be worried about the Protect American AI Act. Because as with glyphosate immunity, I can promise you, the tech billionaires that are funding this one are probably going to try and have it pop back up on the Senate side and re-push it through. But for right now, in the House, it's dead. And we have Thomas Massey to thank for that. For those of you that don't know Thomas Massey, where his election is this week, why it's important, we're going to have a lot of conversations about that over the next 15 minutes until the next break, and then again. But we are in the 4th District of Kentucky, and that is a very strangely crafted district. We've talked about districts a lot recently on this show and all across the United States because of the recent Supreme Court decision. The 4th District of Kentucky is very wide. It's 2.5 hours drive time wide. And I could give it to you in miles, but it actually wraps windingly around Louisville, Kentucky. So it's about 2.5 hours wide and about 1.5 hours tall. In a state as small as Kentucky, that's a very, very strange draft of any district to be drawn, right? And then it wraps almost like a crescent around Louisville, Kentucky, through LaGrange and starts to wind all the way back towards Covington and to the Cincinnati border. It's almost all rural. Right. And in the South, we've got places like Garrison, where Thomas Massey lives. You come up north and you're literally looking at the Cincinnati line, where you have Ohio and Kentucky almost indistinguishable because you can step on one side of the road and be in one state and on the other and be in the other state. And you have a lot of people here that really recognize the importance of the MAHA movement, farming, rural agriculture protection. Also, we have a very, very large swath of people here in Kentucky that recognize the importance of autonomy, small government, fiscal responsibility, and the desire to have a better future for their children. There are a lot of things here in Kentucky that unite everybody, and Thomas Massie seems to be at the intersection of just about all of them. What I'd like to do is sort of give you guys an idea of what's happening here on the ground, what we've been up against, and why I brought a group of dozens of the largest social media creators from across the United States to Kentucky, because it seemed like an odd choice until everybody understood what we were doing. And I want everybody to understand why this is the only place every single one of us wants to be. So right now here in Kentucky, Thomas Massie has been a member of Congress elected here by landslide margins for 16 consecutive years. And during that time, he's never had a significant primary challenger. He's never had to mount a big defense. He's never had to build a voter apparatus. That is until this year. Nobody on the right or the left has ever considered that he was not doing his job for the people of Kentucky. And he has had the highest approval rating of any member of Congress across the entire last year on both sides of the aisle. The same is true for his favorability ratings here in Kentucky, where he had rates as high as 79% in approval of his job ratings until last fall and winter. And that is when he joined Ro Khanna in introducing the act that would become very, very famous the world over, that was aimed at releasing the Epstein files, unredacting the Epstein files, and advocating for the victims to have their voices heard, and for the people that are friends of our government or not, donors to our government or not, the billionaire elite, the Epstein class, to be held accountable for the harm that they've caused to the women and children that were hurt in that Epstein ring. And so prior to that, he'd never had a challenger. Nobody'd ever tried to challenge him. But when he introduced this act with Representative Ro Khanna, again, a bipartisan initiative that had broad support, more than 80% of Americans, he became a target. And I'm sure that was a coincidence. Obviously, it couldn't have had anything to do with us wanting to hold pedophiles accountable. Sure, it was just a coincidence that at that moment, it was then that President Trump turned his ire towards Thomas Massie and sent out a tweet that said his career was finished because he refused to withdraw his support for the Epstein Transparency Act. And when he did that, when President Trump did that, it triggered sort of a cascade of events. He said he was going to primary Thomas Massie, he would find a challenger. When asked live on the record, Trump's response when they said, well, who's qualified, is the person qualified? Trump responded and said, all I need is a warm body. They'll vote how I tell them to. That's actually what he said. That's not a paraphrase. He said he just needed a warm body to run against him and that he would handle the rest. Why? Well, when Thomas Massie was dragged into those secret rooms and told to withdraw his support, he said no. This is what the American people need. We need transparency. We need to drain the swamp. This was the campaign promise you made. I'm here to make sure that we deliver on that promise. The victims got a voice. Members of Congress got together from both sides of the aisle. People rose up. He unified them. When they couldn't get the bill to pass, when they couldn't get it to a floor vote, he engaged in a rare maneuver called a discharge petition. And it wasn't just him that paid the price for that discharge petition, right? We have Marjorie Taylor Greene that paid an enormous price for not withdrawing her support for that discharge petition, right? Nancy Mace suffered quite a great deal. The people of Colorado may be suffering more than anybody, because when Lauren Boebert refused to withdraw her support for that discharge petition, there was a bill that was being passed through Congress that was redirecting water to support water and agriculture and for all of the residents of Colorado. And in retribution for her not withdrawing her support for that discharge petition, President Trump vetoed that bill and took away the water that was being redirected to help support the families and the agriculture of Colorado. But Thomas Massie is who's paying the price this week. And he's been paying the price ever since December when this decision was made. We find ourselves in Kentucky in a state that has some of the most archaic election laws in the United States. It's very difficult to run a primary here. Why? Well, it's a closed primary, which is fine. Lots of states have closed primaries. For those of you that don't know what a closed primary is, a closed primary means that only people registered in the party may participate in voting for the candidate that is ultimately the candidate of that party. This is not uncommon. I think there's about 16 states that have it. And you have to register in that party to take part in that election, which would be fine if we could send out people today to register as Republicans to participate in this election. But unfortunately, Kentucky also requires that you were registered as a Republican 6 months ago. Not now, 6 months ago. So nobody can express their support for him now, not if they want to. We are reliant entirely on people that were already registered as Republicans, likely that voted for Trump in the last election, in a state where Trump still has some of the broadest support in the United States. But Thomas Massie also has some of the broadest support in the United States. And that's where we find ourselves in Kentucky. Right now, voting has had the polls neck and neck here in the state of Kentucky between Trump and the relative unknown Ed Gallrain. Now, we would love to know how Gallrain feels about a multitude of issues. He is a member of the military that has served his country faithfully. We don't begrudge him that. If he were trying to right now go and serve as Secretary of War or get an appointment in the Pentagon or take a military appointment, I'd be the first one to back him. But that's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to be a congressman for the 4th District of Kentucky. And in that initiative, in that effort to secure this seat, he hasn't shown up to let us know how he feels about anything. So we are left to sort of figure out what he would do as a congressman. We know that he's refused to debate Thomas Massie. He has failed to show up for any of the public appearances where he and Massie were going to get to have a conversation together. He has looked at potential constituents and said he's not willing to shake their hands. We do know that he has been willing to take more than $10 million from AIPAC-aligned organizations in what has become the most expensive single-district primary race in American history. And for what? It's not like the Republican Party should be trying to unseat the most popular member of Congress. But what we do have is a Republican establishment elite saying that they can't have a member of Congress that's more popular than their bad policies in this administration. And that's where we find ourselves. With Ed Gallrain, this one is an outdated image, but Ed Gallrain has taken at this point $9.8 million of AIPAC-aligned money. And we know that they just authorized another $750,000 3 days ago and another $1.3 million 3 days before that. And so if you're a candidate that has not had to espouse a single viewpoint to tell anybody how you would be somebody for the people of Kentucky, if you have not once had to show up and answer at a debate, if you have not once had to demonstrate your capability, what you actually are qualified to do as a member of Congress, and your entire plan is, trust me, bro, the president said so, I'm the warm body you need. Well, I have a real problem with that. And I think the people of Kentucky have a real problem with that. Simultaneously, we have an Israeli-backed alliance that is out here pushing ads at a rate of 5-1 against Massie in this district. I've been here for 3 days and I watched TV for an hour the other day just to get a feel for the ads. And in 11 ads, nine of them were attack ads against Massie. They have used deep fakes that fabricate things he never said in their ads. That's a crime in the state of Kentucky. Simultaneously, they have been fabricating and twisting things, saying he's never passed a bill. He's passed many bills. He's passed three in this term, right? That are all very, very popular. And we have Ed Gallrain saying nothing, telling us nothing, but we do have one perspective we know about, one thing that he's committed to. The one thing that we know Ed Gallrain supports: mandatory military service for every young person in America, akin to the IDF. He says he absolutely supports every single American man and woman being forced to go serve in the military for a set number of years before they can begin their lives. In a country where we have the most robust volunteer military in world history, our military is the best because they are volunteer, because they choose to be the best, because they choose that path. But he says we should be more like Israel and our military should be more like the IDF and our young people should have to go and serve. That's the one perspective we've been able to get out of this race. Well, why am I here? Because those attack ads have been very narrowly targeted to make sure that only people over the age of 50 are seeing them. They don't want young people to know that this primary is even taking place. And coincidentally, less than a week before the election, all of the Republican polling locations for early voting, that's today, tomorrow, and the next day, were suddenly changed. So none of the locations on the ballots match where young people actually have to go and vote. All of this has been designed very specifically to make sure that Trump can usher in the warm body he said he needed to deliver to the American people somebody of no opinion, except that they need mandatory military service, to take out the most popular member of Congress on both sides of the aisle. Why? Because he wants to hold pedophiles accountable? Because he won't give a free pass for immunity to data centers and AI companies? Because he's not in favor of warrantless searches? Because he objects to FISA? Because he wants to make sure that you have to have a warrant to go and get information on Americans? He doesn't support surveillance? Because he supports agriculture, MAHA, and not allowing immunity for pesticide companies? Well, I'm here with a massive coalition of creators because we are not okay with that warm body. We don't think the people of Kentucky are either. We've been talking to them. But the suppression that's taking place in the way that this is being advertised in the state means that we need a bigger voice. And we are here to prove to AIPAC and every other corporate sponsor that wants to buy a politician that their days of buying elections are over, that we are not for sale. We don't take money from political parties. We have big voices, big platforms, and we're going to flex them and exercise them for the American people. We will out-influence their money. And we have a huge coalition of creators here to do that, and a huge coalition of creators outside of here as well. People like Zachary Faust, Delaware Realtor Zach, millions of followers. James Lee, Joe Rogan's favorite, right? And Danny Love with the Todayish podcast, they're here. Ian Carroll is supporting us right now. Ryan Mata is supporting us. Holden Collada, Shannon Joy podcast, David Riley podcast, Anna Mattson, the If People Only Knew podcast. Between us, 37 million followers have come down here to Kentucky not to tell anyone how to vote or who to vote for. They've already made their decision. We're here to help them find their way to the polls they've suddenly moved, to remember that they have to vote today, tomorrow, the next day, and to make sure that this is the last election that is able to be bought, and this is where it stops, that they question whether or not the money's worth it next time, because $25 million couldn't buy them a seat in Northern Kentucky on the Cincinnati border, where young people have an outsized influence on this election, and young people choose Massey 8 out of 10 times. We're here to help every one of them find the polling location they need, find their ways to the polls, and give people back a voice to drown out these AIPAC ads and to drown out the money that these billionaires have spent to control a politician that right now is serving the American people, has served the American people, and has developed the highest success rate and the highest approval rating in the United States for it. Now, for all of you that are just tuning in, tomorrow we're going to be having Thomas Massey on the show. And so all of your comments today are where we're going to look for the questions that we have. He'll be here for an hour in the 6 p.m. hour tomorrow night. We're also going to have some of these creators, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert and former Congressman Matthew Gaetz on the show. Today, though, we're here to help everyone find their way to the polls. I would like to, I don't know if I have it available, guys. Do you have the image I sent over of available of his recent work on the farm bill? So I want to close just before our next segment ends with a reminder that just 2 weeks ago, I was on this show with all of you as my viewers. And Thomas Massey was the single most vocal member of Congress that was working with all of us, as you called, 450,000 times to the switchboards in the House just a week and a half ago to stop glyphosate immunity. Right, we knew that politicians were being bought by corporate interests to deliver immunity for a corporation. And the one person we could rely on was Congressman Thomas Massey. And during that live stream, you all directed your action to getting people to call Congress and to stop it, and it worked. I need you to do that for Kentucky today. I need you guys calling everyone you know in Kentucky, sharing this broadcast to everyone you know in Kentucky, and getting out the vote. We're going to go to break right now, but when we come back, I'm going to show you polling locations. I'm going to tell you guys how you can take part.
When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't need, you know, I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? You're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. you need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes up. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, everybody, to the War Room Show. My name is Tiffany Cianci, and I am leading today from Kentucky, Northern Kentucky to be exact, just down the street from Thomas Massey's HQ. I am so excited to be in studio. If you're just joining, I'm filling in for Harrison in this hour of War Room Live today, and I'll be back tomorrow interviewing Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, and the man of the hour, Thomas Massey. We are broadcasting live in Kentucky to get out the vote, to help ensure that everyone knows where they can get their vote, where they can go to the ballot box, how they can vote in these early voting days, today, tomorrow, and Saturday, and then where they can vote at hundreds of polling locations across Northern Kentucky on Tuesday, which is the final primary voting day. Now, a lot of you may or may not know that Kentucky is generally what's called a foregone conclusion state or a one and done state. The primary is generally the election, and that is because Kentucky is considered so deep, deep red that whoever wins the primary wins the election. It's just the way it is. It would be almost insurmountable to try to have anyone else win an election, which is why the primary is the big show in Kentucky. It's for that reason that a lot of people on both sides of the aisle register as a Republican regardless, so that they can take part in the part of the election they think matters most. We're here today because we were asked by Thomas Massey. I was asked specifically to come out here, and I want to tell you a little bit about how that happened. what we're here to do, who's here with us, and what you guys can do to help us spread the word. I sent over a tweet that I'm hoping they can get up for me. It has a picture of President Trump and Thomas Massey on it. I sent it via text message. But it was about 9 days ago when I was sitting across the table at a lunch in DC from Thomas Massey, and I did not know he watched me on X. I did not know he saw my tweets. But the tweet that was in question, and I don't know if you guys have that, Matt, in the green room, but the tweet in question, he held up to me on his phone and he said, "Miss Yancey, is this true?" Well, the tweet said, "I will fly to Kentucky and bring every single follower I have across every platform to fight for Rep. Thomas Massey. POTUS has grossly misjudged how done the citizens are with bought and paid for politics." And that was in response to Trump saying Thomas Massey's political career was over for defying him on the Epstein release with the Epstein Transparency Act. When he asked me if I meant it, I said, "I do today. I do today, Congressman. What do you need?" And he said, "I'm not sure, but I need young people to know that this vote is coming. I'm being outspent 5-1, and I don't have the money to launch the kind of advertising campaign I do. All of the money is being spent right now on older platforms, legacy media, regular ads on evening news shows, and the young people aren't seeing it. I am worried young people do not know that this vote is as important as it is. I'm worried that young people do not know where to vote because the Republican Party changed all of the polling locations this week, so all of their ballots have the wrong addresses on it. And I need them to know. And they don't listen to legacy media. They listen to you. Well, maybe not me, but I've got a few friends." And so it was 9 days ago that we started to mount what we called a Voices for Voters initiative. We said we were riding for Thomas Massey. We ride at dawn for Thomas Massey. And why? We have creators here that are from every facet of the political spectrum. We have people from the deepest trenches of the far right conservative movement. We have people that are America and American first. As Thomas Massey likes to say, he's not America first, he's American first. He says he'll always do what's right for the Americans when I interview him. We have folks that are deep libertarian. We have folks like me that are deep, deep purple, right? Everybody knows that I am not politically affiliated with either party. I vote for policies. I vote for character, and I vote for lack of corruption. But we also have progressives. We have people on the left that favor transparency and releasing the Epstein files that agree with what he's doing. We have folks in my comment section that have said, "I never thought I could say this, but I disagree with Thomas Massey 91% of the time, and he's the only person I want to be president." Well, it's related to a very famous quote he made where he said, "Oh, perhaps you don't know. I vote with Republicans 91% of the time. The other 9%, they're taken up with corporate interests, billionaires, and pedophiles." So if you've ever heard that quote from him, you know that when progressives write that in my comment section, it's because Thomas Massey is acting for the American people. Thomas Massey is doing what he thinks is right. Even if you disagree with it, you know he's not bought off. You know he's doing it for you, or he's doing it for Kentucky, or he's doing it for the farmers that live next door to his farm. And so when he asked us to come, I made a few phone calls, and I called every creator I knew that doesn't take money. I have never taken money from anyone for my content, and I know a lot of other creators that want to keep our integrity more than we want to make a living at this. And so those are the people I called. I called people like Ian Carroll. I called people like Ryan Mata, people like James Lee, Danny Love, Holden Kalata. I called people from the far left, like your favorite guy, right? I called people like Eric Warnick, and I spoke to progressives for Kentucky. There's a whole coalition here of progressives in Kentucky that are Appalachian progressives. I called everyone I knew and I said, "Guys, what do we need to do to help Kentucky know what's going on? We don't want to tell them who to vote for. We don't want to tell them what to choose. All we want to do is help them recognize the importance of this election and that their voice still matters, primarily because so many of them have been blackpilled, probably by people like me, right? I come on here as your bubbly little fairy of doom, and people think that there's no hope, but I also try to give you guys hope and action. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I would like to talk to you a little bit about what's going on and ways that we can support what is happening. One, you can go over to TiffanyCiancy.com. That's my website. You can also follow me on X right now at The Vino Mom, TheVinoMom. And for the next 6 days, you're going to see schedules posted every day for activities you can come out and volunteer with. If you guys want to come help us get out the vote here in Northern Kentucky, we are building an apparatus. We have a huge volunteer coalition that are doing door knocking, and we will give you addresses and send you on your way. If you want to come and help us to spread word on social media or to go talk to folks on college campuses, we want you. And if you cannot get here, you're not close enough, but you know someone who is, we want you to tell them. For those of you that are tuning in from the West Coast, this is going to sound strange. I'm from the West Coast, so it would have sounded strange to me a decade ago. But if you're within 5 hours of Kentucky, we need your help. I'm talking to you, Indiana. I'm talking to you, Michigan. I'm talking to you, Ohio. I'm talking to everybody in Delaware, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee. All of those states are a 4 to 5 hour drive from where I'm at right now, right? It's a very small intersection of the country where we all meet at the corner of Appalachia and the Great Lakes, right? It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful place to come visit. We're looking at the river. We want you here with us. So we want you to call people and tell them to get up here and help us out. You can contact me on all my social channels. But why should you do that? Well, I want to talk to you about some of the things that Thomas Massey's been doing. If I can have you guys pull up for me the no capital gains bill, many of you may or may not know that just recently, Thomas Massey has introduced a new bill in Congress after his Prime Act was just approved as a part of the Farm Bill. He did an immense amount of work on the Farm Bill, stripping glyphosate immunity out of it and the state preemption provisions. Right? In case you don't know what that means, Bayer Monsanto, which is a German company, was spending tens of millions of dollars to secure immunity from being held accountable for killing American farmers. But they were also asking the federal government to say that states no longer had the right to decide how that was legislated, that we were going to take states' rights away and give that to the federal government. Both of those things were stripped out of the Farm Bill by Thomas Massey. Simultaneously, he was able to get in his Prime Act. Now, the Prime Act is a really, really important act that allows local farms to get their meat processed and distributed locally. Local farms no longer have to go to these big four meat packers that are owned by Brazilian and Chinese billionaires that control our entire meat industry. So Thomas Massey's farm, which is an organic beef farm, could now go to a local processing place, a small mom and pop, and get his cattle broken down instead of having to go to one of the monopolies. And he can have it distributed locally without the expense of shipping it across the world. You know, a huge amount of American meat is shipped overseas to be broken down and then shipped back. And we pay for that, right? Grocery prices are out of control. So he recently introduced and was able to get it passed the Prime Act as a part of the Farm Bill while simultaneously stripping out state preemption and glyphosate immunity. But he also introduced a new bill that is the No Capital Gains on Family Farms Tax. And that's the bill I want to talk to you about right now. Can you pull that up for me, please? Sorry, guys. I don't have control of the switchboard because I'm remote. So I appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. All right. If they can't pull it up, don't worry. I have all the details. It's okay. I would rather you guys were able to see it. But the No Capital Gains on Family Farms bill that Massey introduced, I think, is incredibly important. One, because we are losing 140,000 farms this year due to the increased costs related to the war in Iran. We have family farms filing for bankruptcy at a rate never before seen in American history. 140,000 farms. I want you to think about how many local farms, how many regional farms we are losing that are going to be gobbled up by Bill Gates, consolidated into another monopoly, so that they can price fix our food supply. And one of the biggest problems that we have with family farms is that the average age of a family farmer is about 65. As a result, they're at retirement age. They're doing backbreaking work to feed this nation, but they can't pass the farms on to their children because in trying to pass the farms on to their children, the children have to incur a capital gains tax on that transfer, whether they've ever sold the farm or not. Now, if you don't know what that means, if a farmer bought his farm for $5 an acre 50 years ago, okay, it was probably more like $1 an acre 50 years ago. So let's go with $1 an acre. Okay, if that farmer bought his 2,000 acres for $1 an acre, he paid $2,000, okay? If he wants to transfer that farm currently under the law in the United States to his children to keep running it, even though there's not going to be any profit because the family's going to continue operating it. If he wants to transfer it to his children, and it's now fair market value is being deemed, let's say, $100 an acre, which is low, okay, for fertile agricultural land. That means that he has to pay capital gains of $99 per acre. He has to pay capital gains taxes on that. The child does to acquire their family farm. And so this was actually kind of a thing that was covered in Yellowstone, where the family couldn't pay the capital gains taxes after father died. And as a result, they had to sell it for like a dollar to get it preserved so that corporations couldn't buy it. Right? Well, that's real. That's happening in America every day. And it's one of the largest reasons that family farms are going extinct, that we're having 140,000 family farms close this year. So Thomas Massie introduced the No Capital Gains on Family Farms Act. And what it's designed to do is make it so in the instance of family farms, not huge industrial farms, family farms that are transferring their farm to the next two generations, it could be either of the next two generations, right, to transfer ownership to them to keep it a family farm, it suspends capital gains taxes on that transfer to make it so that we stop bleeding farms at a rate we've never seen in America before. Now, this is a bill everyone would get behind, like so many of the initiatives that Thomas Massie works on. This is a bill that the right and the left agree we need. We want fresh food, right? We want clean food supplies. We don't want, he runs an organic farm. We don't want pesticides on our food, right? This is a bill that no one's talking about. When I went to try to see what the media had to say about this bill, not a single article, because the legacy media apparatus has been put into high gear to take this election and deny Thomas Massie access to this victory, right? So when you're looking at the things that he works on, when we're talking about these bills, this is a bill that you guys right now can start calling Congress today on and tell them you want more support for the No Capital Gains on Family Farms Act. You can do that right now. But we also can tell everybody online about it. We can help everyone online understand why Thomas Massie continues to work for the American people. Now, I want to help you guys see a couple others, because there's three other bills that he's introduced that no one's talking about. And the reason no one's talking about it is because, one, it's very lucrative for the legacy media to not talk about it. And two, it's very lucrative for the politicians to not talk about it. But he introduced the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. Now, for all of you at home, I'm hoping some of you know what the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act is. The Smith-Mundt Act was an act that was passed, I believe, in 2012. And it was an act, no, not 2012. Was that 2020? I think it was 2012. 2012? I'm going to have to look it up. The Smith-Mundt Act was an act that was put into place that repealed a decades-old law that, that repealed a decades-old law that said it was illegal for the federal government to lie to its citizens to propagandize them. Well, when the Smith-Mundt Act passed, it made it legal for the U.S. government, and this was under Obama, to propagandize American citizens by lying through the media and any other propaganda apparatus they chose to employ. Okay? So it meant that the government could start issuing press releases that were lies. They could lie to you from the press pulpit. We've probably all seen some of that. They could lie to you across their tweets. They could lie to you in any way they needed to propagandize you for whatever they deemed was the good of the American people. Thomas Massie introduced the bill to repeal and modernize that act to make it illegal to lie to American citizens as a member of the federal government. We should all want that. We should all be demanding that that passed. We should all be ensuring that we are leaning on Congress to say, you don't get to lie to me. But lying is exactly what they want. Propaganda is exactly what they want. They want to make sure that they're controlling every narrative so that we don't have a real say in anything that goes on. And a lot of that, as we know, is funded by our closest allies who have Project Esther and their entire arm of Hezbollah to propagandize American citizens to support our allies and the war in Iran. Well, we should not be lied to. We should not be lied to by the government that only exists because we allow it to be so. Because we fund it, because we give them our taxes to make it so. I don't give my tax dollars to the American government to lie to me. But that is what they're doing. And this bill, Thomas Massie's bill, would make that illegal. It would make it illegal for any member of the federal government to lie to the American citizens to propagandize us. Everybody should want that. The same way everybody wanted the Epstein Transparency Act, the same way that everybody, at least 87% of Americans, choose to support stopping immunity for big corporations that are killing Americans, like Bayer Monsanto. Right? He does the work for all of us that all of us need done. We need more members of Congress that stand up for us, not fewer. Right? How does Ed Gallrain feel about this? We don't know. He hasn't answered any questions about it. We don't know how he feels about any of these issues. But what I do know is that he recently was quoted, and I think it was a USA Today article I sent over. I don't know if you guys can see that article, but he was really trying to prove it, that he's not really a sock puppet for the Trump administration. And the Courtier General. I sent that over just a few minutes ago. But Ed Gallrain's response to being asked for his real opinions on issues, I believe Trump will let me speak my mind if I'm elected. He just can't speak his mind right now. Interestingly, there's another primary going on in 6th District, Kentucky, with another Trump primary opponent. And he also, or she, has not shown up for any of the primaries and is serving as a sock puppet. They are counting on Trump says so to deliver this election. And so while he has no opinions on any issues today, and we won't get to know how he feels about anything today, Ed Gallrain is very confident that Trump will let him have an opinion once he's elected. And then we'll get to know all about how he feels about things, which seems backwards to me, but what do I know? I'm just a voter. Just a voter, like all of you. I'm going to ask all of you guys to please share, if you're watching this on a live stream, share this right now, because we need people in Kentucky watching it, right? We need people in Kentucky paying attention. We need people in Kentucky picking up this torch and carrying it to the polls for the next few days. Now, in addition to the Smith-Mund Modernization Act and the No Capital Gains Tax on Family Farms Act and the PRIME Act, and the killing of the Protect American AI Act, which are four things he has done in just the last 3 months for the American people as a congressman. Thomas Massey has also been working on several pieces of legislation that are designed to increase support for organic farming and regenerative farming. Now, many of you guys may or may not know much about Thomas Massey, but he lives on an off-grid farm in Garrison, Kentucky. And that off-grid farm is fully powered by a solar energy network he built. If you don't know, he graduated from MIT. He has multiple degrees in advanced engineering and electrical engineering, and he's an inventor. And he sold many of his inventions, but he also is really, really good at electrical engineering for his farm use. And his entire farm is organic, regenerative, And it runs off-grid. One of the things that a lot of people have brought up recently is that we all agree in not having insider trading in Congress. That is a unifying issue, just like all of the other bills he's worked on, right? And recently there was a score that came out about Congressman Massey that gave him like a B minus, I think, on insider trading because he owns one stock. He's never traded in stocks while he's been in Congress. He's never used his insider information to get ahead trading stocks in Congress. But he owns one stock, and that is in Tesla. Why does he own stock in Tesla? Because he built a farm to make sure that the government could never control him. He has no connections to sewer, water, or electricity. And he had the ability to do that only because Tesla invented batteries that could hold solar power at your house and make it so you could recycle that energy, repurpose that energy, hold that energy, and be unreliant. It could hold your energy over many days of rain if you didn't have sunshine. And without Tesla batteries, his farm could not be completely independent of the government. And what Austin Fitz would say is the control grid, right? And so he does hold stock in Tesla. And if he didn't hold his stock in Tesla, he would have a perfect no insider trading record, which a lot of people might not know about him. So that's something worth talking about. And it's that work on his farm, which is a working, very profitable organic beef farm here in Kentucky, that has inspired him to do so much work on the farm bill, on initiatives to get the corporate interests out of our Farm Bill apparatus and the Agricultural Committee apparatus. He wants very badly to ensure that when we're giving incentives to farmers, when we're helping farmers get through tough times, that we're not tying that help to having to spend money with a corporation on things like pesticides, which is how it operates right now, right? So we have a lot of things about Thomas Massie that people may or may not know. We have a lot of bills he's been working on that people may or may not know about. We have a million reasons that we all agree with him. We have a million reasons that we all think people should vote for him. We have a million reasons that all of us say that Thomas Massie is the most popular member of Congress by approval rating on both sides of the aisle. We all know all of these things. What we don't know is why it's then the case that a poll, a very small poll, came out this week that suddenly has convinced all of us, apparently, that Ed Gallrain is beating him by 4%, which is still within the margin, when he's been ahead the entire election cycle and is still showing ahead by more than 12 points on Polymarket. Right now, we have all these pieces of legislation that have received zero press, even though they're passing or they're getting destroyed. And we have a new poll that suddenly comes out of nowhere and says he's losing this election. This is all aimed at voter suppression. Now, voter suppression happens in many ways. The most effective, statistically, version of voter suppression that takes place in the United States is to convince people that somebody has already lost or already won to a degree where they become complacent and no longer think their vote can shift it, right? There's a lot of Hail Mary things that different people can do before an election, but shifting their belief that their vote still matters is the single most effective. So when you're looking at teeny tiny polls that have never made sense, that don't stand out to you as possibly being true, and you think, oh my gosh, he's down by 4%. I guess I don't need to get up and go vote. I need you to understand that that is by design. They need you to believe your vote no longer matters, because your vote matters more than it's ever mattered, ever, right? Right now in this district, every single vote counts. This district could be decided by 25 votes. I don't think that's true because he has the highest approval rating in the United States, but that only pans out if we actually go to the polls. And I have a whole series of different ways that you can come participate out here and where you can come and meet up with us and meet with Thomas Massie. For instance, if you're in the area and you just want to come talk to him tomorrow, we're going to be at Lisse, that's L-I-S-S-E Steakhouse tomorrow Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can just come down and talk to Thomas Massie. You can talk to me. You can talk to all of our creators. You can ask him questions and he welcomes it. Now go look and see where you can go and talk to Ed Gallrain. If you go and check his event schedule, you're going to find that there's not a single place in Kentucky where you can speak to his opponent, because he doesn't want to answer any questions. He's the warm body that Trump promised. He's a warm body he said Kentuckians would deliver for him because he says so, instead of the man that served them faithfully for 16 years. That's holding data centers and corporations accountable, that's stopping taxes on family farms and creating local meat supply chains. We'll be back in just a minute, guys. I'm going to kick you over to break, and I will see you when we come back in just 3 minutes.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of its operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalist. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.